And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, we've been talking about politics for a long time. And in talking about politics, we're always dealing with specifics. What actually happened in the political world last week? What do we expect next week? I wanted it this week to take a step backwards, because it seems to me that what we're seeing now, what we're in the middle of now, is a really fundamental realignment of political parties. When you're in the middle of something, you don't necessarily know that it's happening because you're going with the flow. It's only later when it happens that you say, oh my God, look what happened in these last few years. What's happening is that we, on the one hand, we have a group of Americans who believe in political science, in the understanding of what politics is, as it has evolved in history for the last several thousand years. On the other hand, we, in opposition to them, we have another group clustered in the Republican Party now, libertarians, who reject the historical understanding of how human society is structured and run, and therefore fundamentally disagree with the other group about what politics is, what the government is, what the state is. And I don't see how that second group can win, because they can't manage the society that currently exists. But I can see that there's going to be a lot of struggle ahead in the next period of time over the concept of what is a government, what is a state structure, and what is the proper role of politics. Have you thought about this at all? I got lots of thinking about this, but I'm just wondering if you've thought about it at all.
Well, of course I've thought about it. And if you recall, I've been saying certain things since practically the beginning of our show. And I'm a great believer in repetition. So let me repeat a couple of those things. One is, I keep asking, why do we keep electing people to office who don't believe in governance? Why do you elect them into government? They don't want the government to do things. And that certainly is the libertarian perspective. But also, what I've pointed out, and I think it became much more manifest since the Gingrich era back in the 90s, that you've heard me use the term, this conceit, this hubris, where the Republican Party has taken the view that only they have the right to govern, to whatever extent they want to govern. And it's evolved, and it started evolving more so, well, with Clinton in some respects. They believed that Bill Clinton was morally unfit to govern, and therefore he couldn't, he had no right to govern. And then, of course, they got into the issue with Barack Obama, where in fact he's not fit to govern because he's illegitimate. They used this this cover that he wasn't born in the United States. So we have those two phenomenon that have been going on, and they've only become more and more intense. And what of course happened since the Clinton years is that the Republican candidate for president only won the popular vote once, and they keep losing the popular vote. And of course this time they lost the popular vote by 7 million votes. And they don't want to accept that. They are locked into this idea that the vote doesn't matter, that only we we can govern, and that if the numbers don't add up, then there's something, you know, inherently wrong with the way they're being counted, and that's the predicament that we're in right now.
Well, some of them will go further than that. Some of them now argue that majority rule is wrong. That's not the way to do things. Slavery was caused by majority rule. Now, that's not true, but that's their argument. Majority rule is wrong.
Yeah. They've got this other idea, you know, about I just lost my train of thought there. When you say the majority rule, I'll think of it in a moment. But
the point is that the Constitution is based on majority rule. Yeah, it's just that simple.
They want to consider the majority their white supremacist majority. That's the rule that they want to have there. And they've gone through these iterations, you know, the moral majority, which some people said were neither moral nor a majority. And they keep at this stuff. They've substituted cohesiveness and intensity for their breadth of their coalition. And if you remember, you know, after the Romney defeat, they had this autopsy of the Republican Party saying you have to become more diverse, you have to become more sensitive to women's issues and racial issues. And what they've done is they chose to ignore it. They just said, no, we're going to double down on what we're doing, even though we're losing votes.
Well, but they adopted a strategy to compensate for that, a two-pronged strategy, which they're implementing. One is restrict who can vote, and the other is appoint who can count the vote.
Right, and that is the current state of affairs.
Yeah, and they're getting away with it. In many states, they are the ones who are now administering, or who will administer, the election process. They've taken it out of the hands of local people, even elected people, and whatever formula they need, they centralize the control of it in the hands of the Trump wing of the Republican Party. And they make no bones about it. That's what they do. That's what they want to do. And they make no bones about restricting who can vote. So that's their strategy.
In between, they were able to capture control of the Supreme Court and the courts.
And the courts will rule what these people are doing is legal, and you'll be stuck with it.
Yeah, John Roberts has been one of the people at the forefront of limiting the right to vote.
That's right. Kavanaugh and Gorsuch will be in the forefront of saying it's up to the states to decide how they want to administer their elections. It can't be a federalized matter. And of course, Clarence Thomas has always said that.
Sure.
So you're coming into a situation where these libertarians will completely change the nature of the Constitution while keeping the form of the Constitution.
Yeah, and it's, but there, this is, I guess you'd say it was a modified form of libertarianism, because one thing about libertarians, even the Koch brothers or that form, is that they are secular and not sectarian. And what we have on the Supreme Court and what we have had in government are people who believe that that there is a religious backing of their position, and that this is a you hear different terms about it, Christian nationalism, and there's some other terms of it, and in speeches that they're not ashamed to give, you know, we had Mike Pompeo just gave a speech. First of all, he said, we're not a racist nation. And then he said, we're a Christian nation. We've had that speech by Bill Barr at Notre Dame, which was the alma mater of Amy Coney Barrett. We have Clarence Thomas on the court, and we have this.
You have Pence, who said last week that Biden is trying to turn this nation into this country into a secular country.
Which, of course,
I thought the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment made it a secular country.
Yeah, and of course that would be, you know, you would have heard from Jefferson and Madison and Paine and those people saying, yeah, we're supposed to be a secular country.
Yeah, but the point is they have no shame about changing history and the plain meaning of words. They just do it. And they say, well, that's how it always was. What do you mean? That's how it always was. Just the way they invented in the 1980s the Second Amendment, these so-called Second Amendment rights, which hadn't existed from the time the Constitution was written until the time that Scalia suddenly discovered it. In, 2008?
Right. You know, they always used to talk about the activist courts. And, of course, activist courts only meant something that they didn't want the courts to do when their people are being activist. There have been a couple of things over the years that I've tended to observe that they've really not liked what the courts have done. Or what government has done in more recently. Number one is on the social issues, on racial matters. The fact of the matter is that the courts and Congress have made integration of society a rule of law, really of the nature of equality. And, you know, there was great resistance to things like that. You mean my kids have to go to school with people of a different color, or my, you know, marriage between the races is now can't be by the states and things like that. And then you get the business aspect where government has put restraints on the libertarian idea of that we can do anything we want no matter how much we shift the cost to society or how much harm we do to other people, or whether we pollute things or whether we build products that aren't safe and holding the corporations accountable, things like that. So
frankly, I think all these libertarians are con artists. I don't think they believe what they say. I think they'll say anything that they think they can come up with that'll make them win the argument of the minute. They say they don't believe in government. Of course they believe in government. They believe the government should help them. What they believe is it shouldn't help working people, shouldn't help the mass of the people, but definitely it should help them. They believe that, and they act that way. The legal theories that are espoused by the libertarian judges are incoherent. They're legally incoherent. They're logically incoherent. And they're factually wrong. They're not embarrassed to do it. All of them are like that. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Alito, Thomas, all of them are like that. It's all a charade.
Well, yeah. And it's interesting how they've institutionalized these things. I used to give a lecture, and if you remember, Hillary Clinton used to say, you know, it's a vast right-wing conspiracy. And I used to say it's a vast right-wing infrastructure.
Right.
Truth is, it's both.
You were right.
But it is an infrastructure, and they've constructed these things. The Federalist Society, for instance, to teach all these people
how to lie. Basically teaching them how to make up sophistic arguments that are not truthful.
Right, right. And these ideas of the unitary executive, these ideas of just, you know, you name it, the that you hear from the Federalists on the court and things like that, the originalism. Nobody ever heard of originalism. And the
preposterous. How can you imagine that originalism make any sense in a world today that's so different from the world of yesterday, when there was no electricity, God, there were no airplanes, there were no atom bombs, I mean, there were no computers. How in the world could you say, well, no, what they said then governs this technology and the culture of this technology? It's preposterous. No person with any logic in his head could, you know, give credence to what such people say.
Well, but they get a lot of credit. And then there's one other factor that's come into play that wasn't present in other times, and that is the overwhelming effect of Fox News. Where there was a centralized source that was incessant in spreading their gospel and attacking the other side. Now, there always were other attacks. You know, you had the newspapers. You had the Hearst Press versus the Pulitzer Press and things like that. I mean, going back to Franklin and to Jefferson, they always Jefferson, you know, was noted for using the press, but it wasn't nationalized, and it wasn't to the extent of the intensity that Fox News is able to muster and repeat.
Well, if that's what you're facing, is what you're facing. You got to know how to meet that. You can't just moan about it. You got to say, this is what there is. We got to meet it. We got to beat it. We don't necessarily have to do what they do, but we have to find a way to beat it. I don't see that the opposition is doing that.
Well, you know, the Democrats have always been criticized for not having great communication skills and PR. They didn't. They get stuck on policy and wonkiness, and their whole set of techniques are just not where the other side is. You know, they have no Frank Luntz. Although I understand that. Frank Luntz, and this is where I was going currently, Frank Luntz has been actually helping the current White House in trying to message on the COVID crisis. Now, he came up with an idea that's probably, it's never going to happen, was that Biden should get together with Trump and, you know, come out with a joint statement. But it's way too late.
The Republicans who follow Trump would not follow Trump if he told them to get vaccinated.
And that's what the polling has been showing. These folks are so locked into it. But you have and the people on Fox, with all the conspiracy theories and Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson. And, of course, those people, they're vaccinated.
Yeah, because they're hypocrites. They're all hypocrites.
Gets back to your theory there. Rupert Murdoch was one of the first people to get vaccinated in the UK, and he used the socialistic National Health Service to do it.
Yeah, right.
But
exactly.
His channel is out there, Biden was right. They're killing people. They're killing their own base.
Well, they're making them sick. The people who are in the hospital now, and the people who are dying of COVID now in America, are all unvaccinated. 90-some-odd% of them are unvaccinated.
But a lot of them, I know going back to last year when things were really bad, they would get sick and they'd say, well, this isn't COVID.
Yeah, it's something else.
Pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something else. It can't be. Right. It's not what it is. It's not what it is.
The good news is that there's only a minority of these people. We're not sitting in a country where 70% of the people are like that. We're sitting in a country where 30% of the people are like that, and 70% of the people reject that. Why should be bemoaning the fact that we are part of 70% is beyond me. What we need to do is organize that 70%.
Well, that's the thing. That gets back to what I've said of the cohesiveness and the intensity. These 30% are locked in, and they're they're warriors for this cause. They're the kind you see on QAnon. I mean, if you've ever watched the HBO series Into the Storm, you know, it's hard to believe what they're doing here, but they're, you know, these people are true believers into that that form. And the other side of the 70% that isn't, it's still a great percentage of them are uninvolved. Some of them will get their vaccine, but they're not going to say anything about anything.
Well, it's not, I tell you the truth, it's the fault of the leadership. That's the purpose of leadership, to involve the uninvolved, to win yeah. over the wavering. That's the whole point of political leadership. Otherwise, there's no point to political leadership at all. You don't need it. Political leadership is not just, I should get elected to an office. That's the last thing that political leadership is all about. Political leadership is, I change public opinion. I find a way to organize public opinion in its own interest. And I lead them in campaigns that bring into power those kinds of laws and practices that benefit them. Otherwise, what's politics all about?
Well, and that gets into, you know, one of the things I've been saying about, well, the four things that I always talk about, you know, you have to think long term. It's not just from election to election, although you have to perform election to election. And then ideas matter. And creating these ideas, you know, they've created all these think tanks to come up with these bad ideas, these factories of bad ideas, and then the communications. You have to control the communications on this. You know, you have to know how to. Donald Trump said something a week or so ago. You know, he said if you say it long enough, and you say it strong enough, and if you say it often enough, people will start to believe it.
That's what Goebbels said.
We talked about that. Yeah. But that's the fact. You'll hear Democrats say something wrong, they'll drop it. They should be out there attacking the Republicans. And the fourth thing I always say is that you have to always be on offense. You have to be on the attack. One of the things that Trump did was he always attacked. And, you know, and he had so many attacks, you didn't know where to start to defend it. And the answer was not to defend it, but was to attack back.
Yep. But, you know, of course, there's a role of money involved here, too. These fascist organizations, these libertarian groups, they raise and spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year to organize, to educate, to propagandize, to buy off, to put people on payrolls, to have literally thousands of organizations hitting every part of this population. You can't find that on the liberal side. You can't find anything close to that. And no. If you talk to donors and say, you know, you got to take a long-term approach, you have to go where people haven't gone, they look at you like you're nuts. Why would we do that? We shouldn't do that.
They'll back individual candidates, but they won't back the methods that are needed to perpetuate these candidates.
When Stacey Abrams won the elections down in Georgia for the two Senate candidates, Ossoff and Warnock, people all of a sudden said, oh, Stacey Abrams, how wonderful, how great. She'd been at it 15 years, and of those 15 years, she didn't raise any money from the normal liberal donor class, Democratic Party donor group, for 14 of those 15 years. Because they said, you know, you'll never get anywhere. That's no point to that. When she won and didn't need their money, they were throwing all kinds of money at her.
Right. And, you know, before that, Howard Dean had the right approach, that you go after it everywhere.
Yeah. So they got rid of him.
Yeah.
I talked to a woman in West Virginia who runs, for the last couple of years, has been organizing a group of people in West Virginia trying to organize progressive candidates to run in West Virginia, one of the poorest states in the nation. And they have they've actually put up 109 candidates in the last couple of years. She can't raise any money at all. She can raise it in West Virginia a little. She raises $500,000 that way in West Virginia, but she can't attract people from out of West Virginia. They figure, what's the point? The whole point is How about his name is Manchin?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got, and it's, and if you don't win that election, you might win the next one or the one after that.
That's right. Exactly.
You have exactly. You have to be putting people up to bat.
We had an election in Susquehanna County. We had the primaries this a few months ago. There were nine positions open on a countywide basis. The Democrats put up one candidate. They left eight vacancies. Didn't even put up a candidate for the general. Nobody is going to represent the Democratic Party on those for those eight positions. Why?
And that, so why should people who might vote Democratic come out and vote?
They won't.
There's nothing to vote.
Yeah.
There's nothing to vote for.
Yeah. That's why fewer than 30% of the Democrats vote in a county like this. Yeah.
Although I have to tell you, in Lackawanna County, the Republicans have no candidate for district attorney.
Well, they're not going to win that.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
I don't think so. You know, but, you know, it's interesting because Mark Powell, the district attorney, is still raising money. He still has a fundraiser. He has a government. And he's looking for the next election. He might not need it for this election, but who knows if he has a big war chest.
Who knows what will happen in the next election. And meanwhile, the fact is the Republicans want to make sure the government doesn't do anything for the people in the street, for the people who live paycheck to paycheck. As far as they're concerned, there's no reason to do anything, and they'll try to stop it all. And there's no sense moaning about it. That's what they believe. You're supposed to go out and get the majority who doesn't believe that organized.
And what we've seen is this this wealth gap, this enormous funneling of money to the top, and it's incessant. There's never enough there.
No.
There's never enough going up. Biden ran on a program. We're gonna fund the IRS, and we're gonna change. Instead of them looking at ordinary taxpayers, we're going to have them concentrate where the money is on the big taxpayers.
So the Republicans won't vote for the budget,
right? Because they don't want money to go for that. You know,
yeah, they don't want to pay the taxes. They don't want to pay taxes. It's just that simple.
Want to pay the taxes?
Yeah. And they represent the people who would pay the taxes, so they're not going to let them.
Right. Right.
Well, that's the point. People have to recognize government is the way society is managed. It's not that it doesn't do anything. It's always doing something. The question is, who is it helping and who is it hurting? If people come by and say government doesn't do anything or government is the problem, you know that guy is lying and he's fooling you because he's got the government under control for himself. It's just that simple. Well,
and
that's
if you hear,
that's
do you wonder. Yeah, if ordinary people parrot that, you know that they've just heard that.
Yeah.
Because that's the only message they've heard.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't hear only that. But if the other side doesn't say what the truth is, nobody will ever say it.
Well, that's why we're on the air, right, Jay?
That's why we're on the air. That's true. All right. I wanted to go over this. We'll talk about details again next week. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.